Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this reading of your word. May we be blessed by it as we have heard it, but also as we reflect upon what it tells us today. May our hearts be open as we receive the message, and may your spirit move through me and use me as I share your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, there was this guy named Job. Chances are most of you have heard about him. If not, there's a whole book in the Bible that tells the story of a dark time in his life. It wasn't always that way for Job. He actually had a pretty good life. He had everything he needed and more. Job was also a faithful man of God. God was impressed with Job's faithfulness. In fact, one day, God bragged to the devil about this awesome man of God. The devil contradicted God's praise of Job by claiming that Job was a good man just because God was always watching out for him, taking care of him, making sure he had a good life. But the devil really believed that if hard times fell upon Job, he was sure to falter. So God and devil made this little deal. To the delight of the devil, God permitted him to make life a bit rough for Job, but could not hurt Job, to see if Job would actually remain faithful to God. The challenge was on. Job's children died. His livelihood was gone. He lost everything. One can only imagine the shock, the confusion, the grief that Job felt. But now, what was Job to do? The Bible tells us in Job 1, verse 20 and 21, that then Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell on the ground, and he worshiped God. It says that He said aloud, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Did you hear that? Job was consumed by grief, and still he was able to worship God. He even say, "Blessed is the name of the Lord." Last Sunday, we thought about change and the grief that oftentimes is associated with it. We reflected on this particularly in relationship to the change and grief that you, the Hagerstown Church of the Brethren family, are experiencing after the departure of your beloved pastors. Together, we explored the emotions one goes through when grieving: shock, denial, bargaining, anger, depression, and acceptance. It's a fact that the grieving process is not something to be hurried. It's important to make the journey through the waves of the deep feelings of grief that are experienced so that we can have a healthy emotional and spiritual healing. There are things we can do, though, that can help us to move through our grieving process, and one of those things is exactly what Job did. That is, worship God. Now, how can worship help us through our grief? It may be helpful to us to begin exploring this by looking at the basic definition of worship. The online dictionary says that the worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. It's the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. The words of the psalm that was read for us this morning fits this definition of worship. It offers praise and adoration for God's greatness. It expresses gratitude for God's faithfulness. There are so many more scriptures that speak of worship. Psalm 95, 6 and 7 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, we read, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." And in Psalm 99:5, we read, "Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he." It's inspirational to read these positive words of worship of God, isn't it? They make worship sound like a high emotional moment, something that everyone gets excited to do. But let's be honest, we don't always feel like worshiping God, do we? Things happen in life that influence our attitudes and emotions about worshiping God. Think again about Job. I can't imagine he entered into worship on an emotional high. With that in mind, did you notice in the few scriptures that I read to you that they all charged us to worship? A recurring message in the scriptures is the command to worship God. Never does it say that we should wait for the good moments in life to come together and worship God. Nor does it say that we should only worship God when we're feeling an emotional high. Instead, again and again, we are commanded to worship God. And then stories like Job's confirm the charge to worship God in all circumstances. Even the definition that I read for you this morning, it states that it is a feeling or an expression. I suspect that there are those of you who may not have felt overly enthusiastic about coming to worship this morning. And the reason for this could be because you are still sad and miss Tim and Audrey, which I totally get. I'm sure there are those of you who are grieving this loss and have decided to step back, or that there are those who have decided to step back from attending worship because they're disappointed, maybe even angry that God did this. But now, brothers and sisters, now is exactly when we need to worship God more than ever. Now is when we need to be obedient to the words of the scriptures commanding us to worship God. When we do not feel like worshiping God for whatever reason, that's when we need to call upon ourselves to make worship a spiritual discipline. There are times in our faith journey when worshiping God is really nothing more than a spiritual discipline. A discipline, yes, not a punishment, but a good habit that keeps God on our personal radars while we deal with our feelings and the changes in our lives. You see, we need to worship God. Did you ever stop to think about why we worship God? Does God need our worship? Think about that. God certainly doesn't need our praises and approval to feel good about himself. He's God. God has no needs, but he certainly is pleased when we come and do that. When we come and worship him. See, worshiping God reminds us who our God is and who we are in relationship to God. It's too easy to make other things our gods, especially when we're feeling down in the dumps. You've heard it all before: money, possessions, power, television, sports, friends, anything, even our feelings that we don't want to deal with can become our gods. You know, there's a command about that too. In fact, it's the first of God's 10 commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Right? Worshiping God with our praise and thanksgiving reminds us not only of who our God is, but also what our God has done for us. The great creator of the universe, of all the universe, provides all that we need. Maybe not exactly everything we want, but God does provide all that we need. Maybe it doesn't make us happy, but he provides. We have the opportunity to remember that God, what God has done for us, as we express our appreciation and as we remember, we can't help but acknowledge that we need God. Get that? We thank him because he's met our needs, and we are reminded that we need him. Worshiping God puts everything into proper perspective. Yes, through worship, we recognize our need for God, our dependence on God as individuals, but also as a congregation. It's not just what you need individually, it's what we need as a group. As a congregation, as we pray together, we lean on God, we call on God, we rely on God's guidance to help us through our change as a church and the grief associated with that change. Our worship as a church of God also, through this transition, will give us perseverance and encouragement. It is the way we say to God, we trust you, God. We trust you to lead us. That brings me to one more point that I want to make about worship, which I've kind of touched on already. While worship can and should happen anytime, anywhere, and while it can and should be done when we are alone, corporate worship is a must too. Worshiping God certainly builds and strengthens our personal relationship with God, but corporate worship also deepens and strengthens our relationship with each other. Not just God, but with each other. You see, we need each other, especially when we go through times of difficulty, discord, and transition. We need each other. And worship tells one another that we want to be there for one another. Worshiping gives voice and acknowledgement to our commitment to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our worship with one another sends a message of understanding and encouragement to those with whom we worship. It binds us together. It binds us to each other and to God. Worshiping God with one another is another way of expressing our dedication to working together as the body of Christ through the Hagerstown Church of the Brethren, even as we venture the new path that God puts before us. The scriptures tell us that corporate worship is by God's design. The Israelites, they were out there wandering around in the wilderness, not knowing what was coming next. They worshiped God together. The early church met and worshiped God together as they didn't know what the future was bringing either. In Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, we read, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day dawning near." We need each other. And worship together recognizes that. Rob Record, author of Forged by Fire, shares this personal story. He says, "I had a severe cervical injury. The pain was so excruciating that the hospital staff couldn't give me an MRI until I was significantly sedated. The MRI showed significant damage at three major points in the cervical area. Because of the swelling of the injury nerve bundles, the only way that I could find relief from the pain was to use a prescribed narcotic and to lie on bags of ice. Sleep, what little there was, came only by sitting on a reclining chair. Approximately 48 hours from the onset of the injuries, doctors estimated that I had lost 80% of the strength in my left arm. Three fingers on my left hand were totally lost feeling. The slightest movements would send pain waves hurtling down my left side and shoulder. I had to step away completely from my work, which I love, he says, and wear a neck brace 24 hours a day for 5 weeks. About halfway through the experience, I was sitting on the screened-in porch behind our home. The day was cold and blustery, but I needed a change of scenery. Suddenly, a bird landed on the railing and began to sing. On that cold, rainy day, I couldn't believe any creature had a reason to sing. I wanted to shoot that bird. But he continued to warble, and I had no choice but to listen. The next day, Rob says, I was on the porch again. But this time, it was bright, sunny, and warm. And you know, I was tempted to feel sorry for myself, he said, when suddenly the bird, at least it looked like the same bird, returned. And he was singing again. Where was that shotgun? Rob says, then it hit me. The bird sang in the cold rain as well as the sunny warmth. His song was not altered by outward circumstances, but it was held constant by an internal condition. It was as though God quietly said to me, "You've got the same choice, Bob. You will either let external circumstances mold your attitude, or your attitude will rise above external circumstances. You choose, Rob." So let me ask you, what will you choose? Will you choose to worship with an openness to God's healing power, worshiping our Almighty God together will help get you, the Hagerstown Church of the Brethren, journey through this rough waters of change that you are in. Commit yourselves to jointly putting God first, admitting your shared need for God as a congregation as you worship together. Do all of this. Choose that. And in your worship, join your voices in praising and thanking God. Pray with one another. Ponder the word with others, seeking God, thereby also encouraging and supporting one another. And you know what? The divine one who loves you will help you and bring you his beloved children into a new and brighter day. Amen.